Just look down your row, give a wave to someone, let them know it's good to see them here this morning. Hallelujah. Many of you know Sister Betty Fraser. She has been a part of us for several years now. She also was and still is a part of the Pregnancy Support Center. Her capacity has just changed a little bit, but she's still a part of them. And so she is as the thing said, a mighty woman of God, and that's what I appreciate about her, a woman of great experience and knowledge and wisdom in the Lord. And so, you know, I usually, on a day like this, Mother's Day, want to honor a woman, have her come and share what God has put on her heart. So, Miss Betty, can you just come on up? Can we just give Miss Betty a warm welcome? You see, when I come up, they don't clap for me, you know.
Thank you for the honor. Thank you for the honor. Praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor Joe already said what I wanted to say about mothers, so I don't have to say that. And I do shout out to all the mothers and mother figures and everybody that's lend a hand in bringing forth the next generation and all generations to come. It came to me to do my little talk today a little differently than usual. I want to talk about the goodness of God. And it seems like everything was just going that way. I thought Kenny was going to bring my talk, but because it goes so in line with what the Lord had given me. And I found that the best way I can tell somebody about God is to tell them about how good God is. And to tell them about the goodness and how that goodness has affected my life. And so I'll start by just kind of testifying. Growing up, I was taught that there was a God and that he was good and he did good things for mankind and that we should be good and obey the Ten Commandments. But I didn't know that God was good. Through the years, I've seen God's goodness to mankind and especially in my life in many different ways. But I didn't totally understand how good God really is until recently. By that I mean I didn't realize that he is G-double-O-D good, that he is the very epitome of the word good. Now that word epitome just jumped in my head that day when I was thinking on it. So I wanted to be sure of its meaning. So of course I went to Google, and it says it's a typical or ideal example. And then it showed the word embodiment. And I said, that's it. That's exactly it. That's exactly who God is. He is the embodiment of good. Someone might differ and say, but that's not a who, that's a what. I say, no, it is a who. And because he is good in totality, he can only do good. There's no bad in him. Good is who he is, and good is what he does. I might be stretching here a little bit, but James 3:11-12 says, doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren and sisters, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? In other words, no, each kind produces after itself. Now that's a Bettyism, and you'll probably hear another one of those. But God can only do who he is, and that's good. Back in the day, we used to sing a congregational song years ago, When I Think of the Goodness of Jesus. And it went on to say, my soul cries out, Hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. The operative word here is think. The word think suggests that we have to put our minds on him and what he's done in our lives. And one way to do that is to remember what he's done for you. To remember is a God-given command. Throughout scripture, he commanded his people to remember upon their beds during the night, the day he brought them out of Egypt, that he is the one that gives them wealth. Remember his marvelous works. Remember his name. Remember that he was their rock, their redeemer, and to forget not all his benefits. Even the disciples had to remember Jesus' words during their times of deepest trials, when they didn't understand things. They had to remember what he had told them. And you can check out John 12:16, 16:4, and Acts 11:16. Jesus told us as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are to do this in memory of him. Why? So that we do not forget his loving kindness and goodness shown toward us. Jesus also reminded them again after his crucifixion to remember his words. Acts 20:31, 20:35, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. I didn't want to have to read all those. It takes too much time. And Paul and the disciples admonished us to remember again in Ephesians 2:11, 1 Thessalonians 2:9, and 2 Timothy 2:8. Again, I ask the question, why? Why do we need to remember? Simply because we're human and we forget. The enemy uses our distractions, our forgetfulness and busyness of life to cause spiritual dullness and complacency. God has, in his goodness, given us the wonderful tool of memory to jumpstart us back in spiritual gear. I would like each of you to elevate your minds for a moment and remember, as I testify of God's goodness toward me, I want you to think about his goodness toward you. Each of us have a story. Each of us, as that song said, that's breathing, has a story that God has worked in your life. And all you need to do is just move things out of the way and remember from time to time. And it won't be a hard thing to praise him. It won't be hard at all. It'll almost just leap out of your mouth. Sometimes we need to take a moment and meditate. Again, think on how good God is. Even before I knew him as my Savior, God knew me. We just sung that. And you can find it in Psalms 139. He put a longing in my heart to draw close to him. I can remember looking for my library book from the bookmobile. That was a little mobile, a mobile library that came to our neighborhood. And it came, we lived in a project neighborhood. And each week, I love to get my books. I like to read. And not able to find my book to return it, because I couldn't get another one unless I returned the one I had. At the early age of about 10, 11, panic-stricken, because the mobile library only stayed in the neighborhood a short time, maybe 15 minutes. And I was panicked. I couldn't find that book. I'd looked everywhere, under everything, in my little closet, everywhere. And I couldn't find it, and I only had a few minutes. Not knowing anything else to do or having anyone to help me at that particular moment, I cried out to God. I always knew he existed. And after that, the book showed up in a visible spot. I had already searched there, but there the book was. I grabbed that book, and man, I ran across that street to where that mobile was. And I was so excited. I didn't have anybody to tell, but I knew in myself God had done something for me. Now, that was over 60 years ago, and it still returns to my mind when I take the time to remember. I remember when I went forward for baptism at age 12 in the churches of Christ. I got baptized and I tried to live saved. I kept a small little notepad of good and evil I would commit during the following weeks. When I was later asked about a week later by my aunt how I was doing after being baptized, I was able to give her an account of how many lies and good things I had done since I got baptized. Now, they all laughed at me, but I was very serious. My problem was I was trying to keep myself, and I couldn't. They never explained to me that I needed a true relationship with the Savior. I went on through life, graduated from high school, and went on to junior college. In remembering, I realized that God had kept his hands on me throughout all those years. He kept me sheltered, out of trouble, healthy. He provided for my family. I had 9 siblings, and my daddy brought home about $100 a week. We lived in a housing project and had very little in ways of things, but we had a lot. I never broke a bone. I had never been hospitalized until I gave birth, never arrested, never got a ticket. Little things are blessings, and I can remember. I met Mr. Curtis in junior college in 1963. Now, that's a whole nother story, and I won't bore you with that. I got married and began to raise a family. Curtis had been blessed to fulfill his dream of playing professional football in Cincinnati with the Bengals. It was exciting. It was fun. But something was missing. Season over, we get home, and God began to deal with me more and more. I began to see the futility of life. And these words begin to play over and over in my mind. Same old thing, every day. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? I was asked by my father-in-law at the time to attend a revival, which began on a Monday night. He himself, being an evangelist, had been systematically working on me with God's word every evening while he remodeled our living quarters. We lived with Curtis's parents in a downstairs apartment. And I loved listening to him. I didn't know it, but God was prepping my heart. I went to that revival service and was supernaturally touched by the Spirit of God. He saved me that Monday night in 1969. I know some of you probably weren't even born. With only about 20 people in attendance during a praise and worship service. I didn't know people didn't hardly go to church on Monday night. I was excited, and I went. And the Spirit of God literally touched me. And I can truly say, my soul cried out, hallelujah. And I've been changed ever since. Again, God's goodness. Later, God called me to a ministry team that believed in evangelizing. My one big problem at this time was that Curtis hadn't come into the fold. He hadn't committed his life to Christ and to be a part of this team and come with me. Curtis had to be saved. I had 2 children at the time, and that was my life. But after much prayer and fasting and calling out to God, 3 years later, God saved him in a miraculous way. And now we walk together in God's grace and his goodness. Now, I had a couple of vices. One I had was, before I got saved, that is, was cussing. I cussed like a sailor. I don't know. We just thought that was the cool thing to do as a young girl. And I don't know, it was me and a group of my girlfriends. We just thought that was the coolest thing to do. And now I know how ugly it was, but then it was the thing. And I had a bad mouth. And I also smoked. I love my cigarettes, smoking and cussing. Can you believe it? Thank you, Jesus. I began smoking when I was 16. It was just the thing to do when I was a teenager. I mean, we had Marlboro Country, and what was that camel dude, you know, that used to walk across there? All of that, it plagued you. I mean, you couldn't walk nothing, you couldn't see nothing without the cigarette commercials. But after meeting Curtis in junior college, he didn't smoke. He never smoked, and even when he wasn't saved. And he didn't want me smoking around him. I would sneak and smoke, not knowing that the foul odor of tobacco was in my clothing, my hair, my purse, and everything. I didn't know that. I thought I was fooling him, but he knew all along. But when he went off to a major college in a different area, he pleaded with me to quit smoking because the cancer scare had just started back in those days, and it was a real threat. So I tried constantly to quit. Later, after we had married and was pregnant with our firstborn, I quit for the whole 9 months. But as soon as I delivered, I wanted a cigarette because that love was still there. I bummed for a while from friends. They began to hate to see me coming. It was a roller coaster ride, on and off, up and down. I just couldn't seem to stop. I was working in San Francisco at the time, and Curtis was off chasing his dreams. I remember crying out to the Lord again, asking for his help to stop smoking. I had tried everything else. The next few days, I realized I hadn't smoked a cigarette, and I didn't even want one. The desire had just disappeared. Now, that was in about 1968, and I haven't had one since. God heard my cry. Even though I was a sinner, he heard my cry. God is G-O-O-D, good. Praise God. I can remember when I was a secretary of a denominational church. Now, we had a mimeograph machine. Some of you probably said, what in the world is that? We used that to print up our bulletins. There weren't laptops, there weren't computers, and they're just, you had to go to a place to get things copied, you know. And this was back in the dinosaur age. But it was pretty good for those days. It was the latest model. Most often, I was in church alone, and I had no help. Fridays were my days to print and assemble our Sunday bulletins. This thing, this mimeograph machine, had this large drum. It was about like that, about so wide. But what you had to do, you had to keep it filled with ink. And when it would run, it would print the pages out, whatever you typed. You typed on this, what do you call it, filament plastic thing. And you had to, anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about. It was a mess. But this particular day, the ink had run low, and I hadn't realized it, and I had to try to fill it. This had never happened to me, but as fate would have it, it happened that day. I twisted, I pried, I even looked out the window on occasion. I thought, if I could find somebody, maybe a man walking up and down the street, I'd ask him to come in and try to turn this thing for me, because I'd been at it just about all afternoon, and I just couldn't get it open. But I couldn't find no one. Hours had passed, and I had to get that bulletin done, and now my day was ending. I had to get them done. So it came to me again, pray. I said, pray for this machine? Then I thought, well, why not? I need help, and God can do anything. So I earnestly prayed and asked for his help. Then I had the feeling after I prayed to try and turn it again. I hesitated. I almost didn't do it, but I felt unctioned to do it. I did, and that drum opened easier than a jar of mayonnaise. I was taken aback. It opened so easily. I realized then that God had heard my prayer. A young woman with what seemed like an impossible situation took the time and asked her father for help. And he took the time and he helped her. God is good. He's a good, good father. And that's who he is. Amen. Now, I could tell about the time God delivered me in childbirth, about the time he protected me on the highway, about the time he caused us to purchase our first home. I could tell you about when my daughter had a stomach affliction and was very, very sick, and the Lord healed her. About the time he healed my arm from an infected spider bite. He canceled my hospital debt when we didn't have jobs. How he brought us to Missouri with about $50 in cash. And he sustained us. How he has gotten us out of debt. And how he protected me from a stray bullet that was randomly fired a couple of blocks away from where I was in our neighborhood. I could hear its sound as it came past my ear. And this is no joke. It was just like on the cartoons. It said, phew. And I was like, what in the world? Then I looked to the side, and I was standing in front of this truck, and the window just shattered. And I ran inside where others were, and I told them, come see, come see. They didn't believe me. They thought, you know, I'm dramatic. You know, you always overdo things. I said, but come see. Come look at the window. And sure enough, after we had the police out and everything, some people a couple of blocks away were shooting firearms. And they were shooting up in the air without realizing that those bullets have to come down somewhere. And that one came down right past my head. Again, God is so good. I could go on and on speaking about the goodness of God and how good he is. But I'll stop. Lest some might think that I'm boasting in myself as I'm some great somebody. But if I am boasting, I am boasting in him. Because he is good. And good is what he is. And good is what he does. Just remember. And you too will see it. God's goodness. Remember also that God does not move in our lives just for the sake of moving. He shows us his goodness, compassion, and grace, so that we might also show that same compassion and grace to someone else, that he might be glorified. These words, love, kindness, mercy, peace, joy, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, are all attributes of God. And he expresses himself to us by these. It is who he is. God is good. I can't say that enough, because we really need to let that penetrate our brain, that God is good. And now I'll end this little talk with the words of that song that the saints sing sometimes, the goodness of God. And the song we sung today that Becca sings, I just want to let go every time I hear it. And it's the simple chorus. And this is my testimony, that all my life, you, Lord Jesus, have been faithful. So faithful. And all my life, you, Lord Jesus, have been so, so good. Thank you, Jesus. And with every breath that I am able, oh, I'll sing and I'll speak about the goodness of God. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come on back. Somebody said he's actually better than you think. Let us stand. You know, Sister Betty shared about the goodness of God in all different ways in her life. And I don't know the different things that we might be facing, you might be facing, but I do know, as she shared, that God is good and that He's more than able to intervene in every one of those circumstances. And so if you have a situation, just saying, Lord, I'm going to again present this to you and ask for your intervention. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. Several hands. Why don't we just keep your hand up? Why don't a couple of you just move out to these folks and just lay hands on them and pray with them for God's intervention in those circumstances? Let's do some body ministry. Keep your hand up so that people can see, and I'm just going to ask some folks just go over and pray with them. The rest of you just be in prayer. Controlling issue. Sister Betty shared about how she was controlled with the desire, the need to smoke, and with a foul mouth. And God set her free. So if you have something like that is controlling you, smoking, vaping, pornography, whatever it is, whether you be in this room or you're participating online, if you have something like that, take a moment and cry out again to the Lord this moment, this morning, and ask Him to set you free. Ask Him to show you His goodness by setting you free from this thing that controls your life, so that you can walk the type of walk that He wants you to walk. Let's just take a moment and do that quietly by yourself there, whether you're here or you're online. Ask God to set you free from this thing that controls you. Resurrecting buried dreams. right now we lift up everyone, oh God, who has some sort of life controlling issue. Now we lift up those, oh God, who are controlled by smoking, by nicotine. Lord, those who are controlled by vaping. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we break the control of this thing from off their life. Satan, take your hand off the life of God's people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we break this stronghold. Lord, whatever is at the root of this, oh God, we uproot it and command it to be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, for those who are controlled by pornography, Lord, those who are controlled by cutting themselves, by hurting themselves, oh God, those who have a dislike for themselves, Lord, right now, we break that control over their life. We command the spirit of pornography to let God's people go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we command this self-destructive, this spirit that comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, take away the peace of God, anxiety, that we break these controlling things from off of your people right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, instead, Lord, release your peace. Lord, release your, oh God, a fresh outpouring of your spirit, oh God, to fill the void where the enemy once controlled in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your goodness become even more evident in the lives of your people as we walk from victory unto victory, as we move from faith to faith, as we move from glory to glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those for whom this day, O God, is a day of dread, Lord, Mother's Day, Lord, I pray that instead, Lord, they might experience your peace and your love. And every concern that they have that relates to this day, Lord, we just cast those concerns at the foot of the cross. And instead, oh God, we receive this as a day that you have made, oh God. And Lord God, therefore, I release for them, oh God, the ability to be able to rejoice and to be glad in this day, because it's a day that you have made. Now we lift up every sickness, every illness, Lord God, in the bodies of your people. And Father, now we pray for healing. Lord, touch those who are sick, mighty God, and bring healing. Physical healing, oh God. Touch every organ that's malfunctioning and cause them to function according to your divine purpose. In Jesus' mighty name. Now we curse every cancerous cell and command cancer to be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord with this song that Sean is playing.
You got the whole world in your hands, so I surrender to your plans. You've been a father and a friend my whole life, my whole life. You're resurrecting buried dreams, waking up the dead in me. We've been making history my whole life. My whole life, I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. My soul will sing of your love at all times, at all times. With every breath I give it back in praise. Lord, I will keep on singing for all of my days, for all of my days. With every breath I breathe in, I give it back in praise. Lord, I will keep on singing for all of my days, all of my days. Oh, I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. My soul will sing of your love at all times. at all times.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, and I just was talking to Alicia, but there are so many of us that goes, like, my life wasn't like Miss Betty's, you know? I've had all these horrible things happen. I was thinking recently about my uncle. My mother testified about him being hit by a drunk driver and being thrown. Let me give you a little bit more of a background. That same uncle lost everything in the Joplin tornado. Everything. And I'm sitting here going, Lord, how can all of these things be good? How can him being hit by a drunk driver and now spending months in the hospital? And the Lord told me, he said, but I'm still right there with him. And I am using that circumstance where he is in that hospital room and there's nobody there besides me that is drawing him. And I have thought over and over again how people look at my circumstance with Bethany and say that, how can that be good? And yet, through every one of these difficulties, through everything that my Uncle John is facing, God is right there whispering to him, trying to bring him to a place where he'll listen and where he will respond and be brought back into a right standing with the Lord. And with Bethany, everybody can look and say, how can that be good? But there are so many things in her life that the Lord has grown her and matured her and brought her into this young woman of hope that people look at her and say, how can you have hope in this circumstances? So I really feel right now impressed that I want to pray for those who feel like they cannot see the goodness of God. They've never seen the goodness of God in their life, that every circumstance has been bad, that God has turned his back on you. And I'm just really feel impressed right now to say that the Lord has never turned his back on you. You know, sometimes bad things happen just because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes God uses those very bad things to get a hold of you, to whisper to you going, I'm right here. I love you. I have never left you. Even though you've experienced these bad things, I am right here. So Lord, I just ask right now that you open the eyes of our hearts. That, Lord, every moment that you have stood right beside us, that even in the most horrible experience that we have had, Lord, that you have never left us. So, Lord, I ask that you open our eyes to see those moments, to see the things that, even though they seemed bad, you have turned them around for our good. You have caused them to be circumstances that makes our heart be drawn to you. And so, Lord, I just ask that you reach out right now, whether they're in this room, they're online, wherever they are, Lord, that you begin to show them that you are good, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. May we see the growth that you have brought us through. May we see the strengthening that you have caused within us, to know that you are right there with us. And Lord, I ask that you cause those who are faltering, those who do not believe that you are good, that you have left them, Lord, to begin to see right now, at this moment, begin to see that you are good and you have brought him through these circumstances. Just like with my Uncle John, while he's laid up in that hospital, he's still alive and he still has the opportunity to turn, and he still has the ability to say that God is good in all his circumstances and that you are right there with him, and to begin to recognize that goodness in our lives. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you because Sister Betty reminded us over and over again, you are good.
Hallelujah. For God doesn't cause all things. As she said, we live in a fallen world. We have an enemy whose job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's doing a good job of it. But for those of us who would allow the Lord to work in our lives, who would respond to his love by loving him back, Romans 8:28 says, he will cause even those negative things to work together for good. Not for evil, not for it to be neutral, but for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, open our eyes, O God, that we might see that we are surrounded by your goodness. Lord, open our eyes, O God, that we might start a focus. It might come into our focus, O God, just how much you are good to us every single moment, every single day of our lives. Lord, the news causes us to focus upon those things which are negative. Lord, many of the people around us cause us to focus upon the negative things. Lord, the things that the enemy may be doing, the things that the people may be doing. But Father God, I pray you might cause us instead to focus upon you, so that those things, oh God, might fade into the background. Lord, as we used to sing back in the day, Lord. Lord, help us to see Christ. Help us to see the glory of Christ. So that the things around us, oh God, will fade in the light of his glory and his grace. Help us, Lord, to turn our eyes upon you and to see you. To look full into your wonderful face. To see your goodness and your love. Lord, as we interact with people today and throughout this week, help us, oh God, to be quick to share about your goodness. To be quick to testify about how you have intervened continually in our lives. Lord, may we indeed be bearers of good news. Lord, may we indeed represent you as your children, that we have a good, good Father who takes care of us from the moment of our lives, when we came into this world until now. Your goodness has been following after us. Your blessings have been surrounding us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, and amen.